What a warm welcome. So I'm going to start by telling you about an outbreak of Salmonella enteritidis that occurred in August of 2014 in Arapahoe County, Colorado, in an assisted living facility. This was an outbreak that was small in numbers, but very large in impact. There were only two cases, however, illness was severe. Both were hospitalized and one died. When we realized that both of these cases ate almost all of their meals exclusively from the assisted living facility where they resided, our environmental health team went in to conduct an environmental assessment and found quite extensive violations in the kitchen. One of our experienced environmental health colleagues said, "Wow, that's one of the worst I've ever seen." It was so bad that food service was temporarily suspended until they could dispose of all of that food, do thorough cleaning, and there could be additional food safety education. We know that adults who are 65 and older have a higher rate of enteric disease illness. In Colorado, there are second highest incidence of reported disease after children under one. There's a higher rate of hospitalizations and deaths. And long-term care facilities are sort of a unique setting for disease transmission. There's close contact between residents, not unlike a dorm or a hospital or a prison. There's contact with visitors or staff that are coming and going and spreading and sharing new germs. And most meals are consumed on site, so a single lapse in food safety can have a really large impact on all of the residents in a facility. There was an Australian study that looked at the incidence of enteric disease illness among folks who were living in long-term care facilities compared to those living in the community, and found that there were more cases reported among people living in these institutions than their peers in the general population. We tried to see if that held true in our state, and we looked at 1 year of Salmonella data and found that about 10% of our Salmonella cases over the age of 65 were living in some sort of assisted living or skilled nursing facility, and that's compared to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services average of 3.6% of the population in this age group living in a facility. So we think that's holding true, and we're seeing more illness in this population as well. So the agencies that investigated the aforementioned outbreak kind of represent a melange of public health in Colorado. On the left side of the slide in the bluish color are the state agencies, and first is our Health Facilities Division. So they're the ones who regulate all long-term care facilities in Colorado, and they also do the routine inspections. And depending on the type of facility, so assisted living versus skilled nursing, those inspections happen every 1 to 3 years, and they're an extensive multi-day inspection covering everything from injection safety, fall risk, resident socialization, and the kitchen is one part of that. The Environmental Health Division at the State Health Department in Colorado is involved when there's an outbreak, but otherwise has no reason to be in these facilities. So they were not in this facility prior to this outbreak. In the Communicable Disease Branch of the State Health Department, we obviously see a lot of enteric disease outbreaks in these facilities, so we're involved, but we're only involved when there's an outbreak, not routinely. On the local health side of things, our communicable disease teams at local health departments are the ones that lead most of these outbreak investigations. The local environmental health is a different story. In one Colorado county, long-term care facility kitchens are routinely inspected like restaurants by our environmental health staff at that county. In a few, the kitchens are inspected only if they sell food to members of the public. So if I go to have brunch with grandma and I pay for that brunch, they're inspected, but if it's complimentary, they're not inspected. And in a lot of counties, environmental health is not in these facilities at all. So through this outbreak investigation, we collectively, the agencies on this slide, realize that we are failing this population of vulnerable Coloradans and that we are not doing as much as we could to prevent enteric disease outbreaks. As a result, the Environmental Health and Health Facilities Divisions got together and started a pilot program, and they pooled their resources and hired an experienced environmental health specialist who was standardized, registered, to conduct more environmental health style inspections in these long-term care facility kitchens for a brief period in the spring and summer of 2016. So he used a standardized inspection form that is based off of the form that's used for kitchens, restaurant kitchens in Colorado, listing all of the violations. And on one side of this form are non-critical violations, so that can be anything from improper food storage, not having clean food prep surfaces, not having correct utensils or the storage of said utensils, employee hair restraints. Then on the other side, we have the critical violations. So these are the ones that are a little more significant. Exclusion of ill workers, kitchen free of rodents and vermin, that food is wholesome and free of spoilage. And among those, the ones highlighted in yellow are the foodborne illness risk factors. So things that when these things go wrong, we know it leads to illness. So cross-contamination, hand hygiene, proper heating, proper cooling, and hot and cold holding. So using this form, the environmental health inspector who was hired for this pilot program conducted 150 inspections of long-term care facilities in Colorado. It was a representative sample of skilled nursing and assisted living facilities throughout the state, excluding the county that is already conducting environmental health inspections in their long-term care facility kitchens. And the violations that were identified in those 150 pilot inspections were then compared to three sets of data. The first are violations found in restaurants in Colorado. The second is violations found in schools, hospitals, jails, and prisons in Colorado. And the third is the violations found in those same facilities during the routine inspection that was done by the Health Facilities Division. And the last section is what I'm going to spend the most time talking about, but let's start off talking a little bit about restaurants, schools, hospitals, and my personal favorite, jail. For professional reasons only. So this chart compares the percentage of facilities with the violations listed on the left that were found when our environmental health specialist inspected during the pilot, so those are the blue bars, and the percent of restaurants that had the same violation when they were inspected in 2015. And that's the green lines. And those represent over 20,000 restaurant inspections done in the state of Colorado. So looking at hand washing, for example, 11% of restaurants in Colorado inspected in 2015 had hand washing violations. 57% of the 150 long-term care facilities inspected during the pilot program had hand washing violations. Looking at this data, you could say that it's safer to eat in a restaurant than in a long-term care facility in Colorado. Even though it's helpful for us to compare to restaurants for our internal reasons, it's not a particularly fair comparison. And we thought it was helpful to look at other kind of institutional settings that are being routinely inspected by environmental health. And in Colorado, those are schools, hospitals, and prisons. So this graph is set up the same way, looking at the percent of facilities that had that violation, again with long-term care facilities inspected during the pilot program in blue, and our hospitals, schools, and prisons in green. So looking at the same hand-washing violation, 4% of schools, hospitals, and prisons had cited hand-washing violations during their inspection. However, 57% of long-term care facilities experienced the same violation. So looking at this, I would say it's safer to eat in a Colorado prison than it is to eat in a Colorado long-term care facility where our vulnerable populations are residing. So next we wanted to compare the violations identified in those pilot inspections to inspections of those same facilities previously conducted by health facilities. Again, that's that 1 to 5 day inspection that's occurring every 1 to 3 years, looking at the entire facility. So looking at this, let's look at hand washing once again. Hand washing was identified as a violation in 15% of the facilities in the health facilities inspection, but 57% by our pilot inspector. So we're seeing a difference in violations, but these are the same facilities at different points in time inspected by different people. So we have the ability to match this data. So for each violation, you have two sets of options. There could be concordant results. So both health facilities and the environmental health inspector found the same thing, whether that's a violation or no violation. Alternatively, you could have discordant results. So only one or the other type of inspector identified it. And the way I've laid it out for you here is looking at the percentage of facilities with violations and who identified those violations. So let's look at cold holding on the top. In 1% of facilities, both the Environmental Health Pilot Inspector and health facilities identified a cold holding violation. In 1% of facilities, health facilities identified the violation, but the environmental health specialist didn't. And in 56% of facilities, the cold holding violation was only found by the environmental health specialist. Using McNamara's test to assess statistical significance, setting our p-value at less than 0.05, all of these were statistically significant. So it's important to say that there are some violations that were found more frequently by health facilities staff than environmental health staff. Hair restraints, clean floor, wall, ceiling, proper use of utensils, that sort of thing. So for hair restraints, 12% of facilities had hair restraint violations when inspected by the health facilities staff, but only 1% did when environmental health did. Again, these were all statistically significant, and it's important to note that none of these violations are foodborne illness risk factors. We concluded that a trained environmental health specialist identified different types of violations than health facilities inspectors. Environmental health staff tend to focus on foodborne illness risk factors such as cross-contamination, hand washing, temperature violations, whereas our health facilities colleagues saw more non-critical violations that could be visually observed, such as cleanliness, hair restraints, and utensil use. And this makes sense based on the training and the intention of the visit. When an environmental health specialist goes out just to look at the kitchen, that's what they're focused on. Whereas when our health facility staff are out there for multiple days looking at injection safety and fall risk and all these other things, the kitchen is a brief part of their trip and not a focused activity. Nonetheless, we believe that these are violations that, when missed by health facilities inspectors, could result in enteric disease illnesses. So, limitation of our study is that the inspections may have occurred as much as 3 years apart based on the inspection schedules. The inspector for the pilot program may have been particularly thorough, and we are comparing one person's work in the pilot program to the work of many inspectors. Nonetheless, we recommended frequent risk-based long-term care facility kitchen inspections in all Colorado long-term care facilities that be conducted by staff with specific training and expertise in food safety and environmental health. And thus far, the results of the study have been shared with the leadership of our state health department, the local environmental health directors, and the leadership and members of two Colorado long-term care facility trade groups. We were concerned that they might see this as more regulation, more inspections, more visits, and we were very warmly received by a group of people who really wanted to know how to improve the safety of the residents in their facilities. As a stopgap measure, there's been training in food safety at a lot of conferences and meetings for long-term care facilities, and we currently have a stakeholder process underway to figure out how to implement a food safety-focused program to inspect kitchens and long-term care facilities in Colorado. And this stakeholder group is looking at the funding source, the structure of doing this, whether it'll be a change in statute or a cooperative agreement. And right now, we think this is likely going to be housed within our environmental health division, as that's where most of the expertise in this area is. And I was waiting for Leslie to flip. Hey, good timing.
Time for just a couple of short questions for Rachel.
From California, Department of Public Health. In California, are food service inspections in long-term care performed by nutritional consultants, not by health facility evaluators? So I'm wondering if that's different in other states, because I was once responsible for foodborne disease outbreaks and now for healthcare-associated infections, and we haven't had a foodborne outbreak in a long-term care facility associated with food. We've had contaminated pepper. We've had salmonella-carrying residents where there was cross-transmission, but we haven't had a single, even a norovirus outbreak associated with food. But I'm wondering if there's a different level of competency, because I've been out with surveyors. I've been out with the nutritional consultants when they've done kitchen inspections. They're audited by CMS, who come in and do independent food service inspections, and the one audit that I was a very, very detailed audit, found very, very few. Now, maybe they had, you know, the same level of expertise, but I'm wondering whether the surveyors in Colorado truly aren't trained in how to do it, because I mean they're not there. You don't have nutritional consultants in your survey agency.
So it's the survey agency is our state health department. It's our health facilities division,
right.
And it's
same.
Okay,
here.
So it primarily the educational backgrounds. There are nurses, some dietitians, and social workers who are the one doing those surveys and those inspections.
Right.
We informally have started to survey other states and to see what they do as we look forward to how we want to change things in our state.
Right.
And there are a number of states where the inspections are done either by the environmental health specialist or a system similar to what you described in California.
Yeah. So, look at California. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. Time for one more question.
Were these announced or unannounced inspections?
Unannounced inspections.
Unannounced. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.